Brought to you by JMR Rentals, jmrny.com. Hello and welcome to No Rest for the Weekend. I'm Jason Godby, and today on the program, we're talking about the Child's Play Chucky franchise. Later, I'll be speaking with Kira Elise Gardner, the director of Living with Chucky, a new documentary about the making of the franchise. But first, we got some movie release news for you. All right, so for those of you who watch the show, you can see that we're in a different studio this time. And joining me is Uber producer Brenda Betrayed Oliver. We got some movie release news for you. New releases coming out this year. On April 21st, the new film by Ari Aster, who directed Hereditary and Midsommar, Beau is Afraid, will open in theaters. The film features Joaquin Phoenix as a mild-mannered, anxiety-ridden man who, after the sudden death of his mother, is forced to confront his darkest fears as he embarks on an epic Kafka-esque journey. Very strong ensemble in the supporting cast. We've got Amy Ryan, Parker Posey, Nathan Lane, and Richard Kind. This comes to us from A24, which has become a studio from other critically acclaimed movies like Good Time, The Florida Project, and Uncut Gems. Now, I saw the trailer for this one, and it looks absolutely bonkers. It's very surreal, highly stylized. I don't know what something like this will do at the box office, but strong cast, strong director, he's made some quality films, should be interesting to say the least. Also opening on April 21st, Guy Ritchie's The Covenant stars Jake Gyllenhaal as a U.S. Army sergeant and Dar Salim as an Afghan interpreter who saves his life. When the sergeant finds out that his interpreter and his family were not given safe passage back to America as promised, he returns to Afghanistan to retrieve the interpreter and bring him and his family to the States before the Taliban hunts them down. Now, this doesn't look like your typical Guy Ritchie movie. It's a straight war drama. We don't get a lot of the eccentric characters and wild camera movement that's sort of his signature. There have been quite a few films about the Afghan and Iraq wars, but very few of them have actually done well. So it'll be interesting to see what this one does critically and at the box office. Moving on, you're a Guardians of the Galaxy fan. Are those your favorite MCU films?
No. My favorite Marvels would probably be Iron Man.
Yeah. I love original Iron Man. Original Recipe Iron Man is great.
Yeah.
But I do really like these films.
Yeah.
And we're getting the third one. Now this is going to be on May 5th. It's the second Marvel installment this year after the Ant-Man movie. So we got Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. From the trailer, there looks to be a lot going on in this one. Lots of high drama, but also laced with the quips and jokes from writer-director James Gunn. It looks like Gamora has returned. So she died in Infinity War, and we got a new version of her in Endgame. So this is going to be the version of her from that film, which is kind of her taken out of time. So not the same Gamora that Peter Quill fell in love with. The big bad looks to be this character called the High Evolutionary, and he may or may not be, from what I gather, this is all me interpreting the trailer, he might be the guy who created Rocket Raccoon. So that'll be interesting to see. We also get Adam Warlock in this movie, who's a bit of a, I think he's a sort of a comic book deep cut. I don't know if there's a lot of Adam Warlock fans out there. But I thought the previous two Guardian films were really strong. I think they're a couple of the best in the MCU. James Gunn really has a vision and a voice for this material. And the performances from Chris Pratt and company, always really solid. This one promises to end their saga, but with a bang and I think a proper send-off to the characters. Now, James Gunn is off now. This is, I think, his last Marvel film. He's going to be working with DC, Warner Brothers / Discovery, and it's going to be interesting to see what he does in that universe. He recently announced an entire slate of films and series, but we DC fans have been promised a lot in the past, so we'll see what he and his partner Peter Safran can deliver. It was also recently announced that Gunn would be writing and directing Superman Legacy, which is a new Superman movie. Now, I like The Suicide Squad, and I like the spinoff series Peacemaker. I thought they both really worked really well. You were not a Peacemaker fan.
Definitely not. A John Cena fan, but not a Peacemaker fan.
I thought he was great in the movie. I thought I didn't like him in The Suicide Squad, and when I had heard that they were making a spinoff series based on that character. I was like, what are you going to make?
Yeah.
But I thought he was great. I thought he was really great in it. And I thought the ensemble is great. There's a lot of dark, funny humor. But that tone really isn't Superman.
Right.
So it's going to be really interesting to see what James Gunn does with one of these big marquee DC legacy characters. Speaking of legacy characters, we also got another Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, that will swing into theaters on June 2nd. This one continues the story of Miles Morales as he's catapulted across the multiverse. Miles encounters a team of spider people who have been charged with protecting the multiverse. When the heroes clash on how to handle a new threat, Miles will have to redefine what it means to be a hero. Now, we have some characters returning from the previous films, Peter B. Parker and Spider-Gwen. Oscar Isaac will be voicing a character called Miguel O'Hara, who is a Spider-Man from the future. The first movie was so revolutionary and innovative, it became an instant classic. So I'm not sure. My one reservation about this film and my hesitation about it has been, can they at least equal the first one and dare I say, top it? I don't know. I don't know if that's possible. But from the trailers, the animation looks amazing. This could be one to see on a big screen. All right. Also happening on June 9th, we've got Strays, which is the story of an abandoned dog who teams up with other strays to get revenge on the man who abandoned him. This is a talking dog movie like Babe or Babe Pig in the City, where we see their mouths move. We got voices like Will Ferrell, Jamie Foxx, Sofia Vergara, Isla Fisher, and Josh Gad. It looks like a takeoff on movies like Homeward Bound, where the dog has to make a journey to get back home. It's a broad comedy where, like, the dogs get drunk and high, and the revenge part of it entails them biting a man's genitals off. So it's not subtle. It looks like a kid's movie with the talking animals, but the tone is definitely more adult. So it kind of leaves me wondering, who's this movie for? There's some amazing comedy talent involved, but, you know, this is one of those ones that it could be really funny or really bad. It's hard to say. All right, coming up on July 21st, we've got Insidious: Fear the Dark. Are you an Insidious fan?
No.
So did you know that there were 5 Insidious films?
No.
So I did not know.
I didn't even know there was one.
So it's a pretty popular horror franchise akin to like The Conjuring and things like that. This is the 5th one in the franchise. Like you, I was not aware that there were this many Insidious films. The original came out in 2010 and was followed by Insidious Chapter 2 in 2013 and Chapter 3 in 2015. And then in 2018, we had Insidious The Last Key, and now we've got Fear the Dark. This latest film in the series follows the Lamberts, picking up 10 years after the last film. Patrick Wilson will direct and star in this one. He also stars in the Conjuring series of films. So the guys done a lot of horror. Let's see what he can do with his directorial debut. Also opening on July 21st, Barbie is coming into theaters. I don't know if you were you a Barbie girl growing up?
I wasn't a Barbie girl, but I was a Barbie purchaser.
Yeah. So. I mean, there was probably no one of your generation who didn't own a Barbie at some point.
I was buying a lot for the kids for Christmas.
Oh, yeah.
Every girl wanted a Barbie.
So this is interesting. This is the first live-action incarnation of Barbie. It's directed by Greta Gerwig, who has made some good films. She made Lady Bird and Little Women. Now, according to the IMDb description, to live in Barbie land is to be a perfect being in a perfect place, unless you have a full-on existential crisis or you're a Ken. So we got Margot Robbie and Ryan Gosling. Now, in the teaser trailer, it's a spoof of the opening of 2001 A Space Odyssey, which kind of gives you a sense of the tone. We see a bit of Barbie land as well. I think this has got a real Lego movie vibe to it, where this toy character living in a perfect world suddenly wonders who she is and why she's there. Now, on an earlier news episode, I mentioned that Gerwig has made some good movies, so this could be good as well. But like Strays, I'm kind of wondering, who's this for? Now, is it for little girls, or is it for women who grew up with Barbie as little girls? So I'm interested in seeing what they can do with the material. Now, speaking of toys that came to life, We've got the Child's Play franchise. This is interesting. So the Child's Play franchise began in 1988. In that film, a character called Charles Lee Ray, a criminal, is shot while being pursued by police. In his last moments, he runs into a toy store. While he's dying, he performs this ritual that transfers his soul into a toy doll called Chucky. When a single mom, played by Heather Hicks, buys the doll for her son Andy, played by Alex Vincent, the doll comes to life and attempts to murder them. Now, Brad Dourif plays Charles Lee Ray. He's the voice of Chucky. He voiced the character for nearly 30 years in the sequels. The 1988 film was such a success, it was followed by two immediate sequels, Child's Play 2 in 1990 and Child's Play 3 in 1991. And then starting in 98, there were four more movies in the franchise, which I find incredible. We had Bride of Chucky, Seed of Chucky, Curse of Chucky, and Cult of Chucky, which was released as recently as 2017. The film was rebooted in 2019, this time with Mark Hamill voicing the character, and it was well received. It earned $45 million at the box office worldwide on a budget of just $10 million. One thing I did not know until I researched this, there was a Chucky TV series. It launched in 2021. It continues the story from where Cult of Chucky left off, and the series was created by the same guy who started the Child's Play franchise, Don Mancini. In January, the series was renewed for a third season. So I didn't know if it had a first season, but apparently it's got a third season. On April 4th, a new documentary about the Child's Play franchise was released on streaming via Screambox and other digital platforms. I caught up with the director, Kira Elise Gardner. Welcome, Kira.
Hi, thank you for having me today.
Thanks for being here. I appreciate it. Thanks for having us as part of your junket. I know you're probably doing a bunch of these today. Is this your first press junket?
I did a press for Fantastic Fest in my festival circuit. So I've had the warm up and now I have the actual junket.
So my first question, what I'm curious about is, how did this get to be a movie? Like, what was the thing that said, you know what, can make a doc about this? Was this your idea? Did somebody approach you about this? Like, how did it come to be?
It started as a short film that I did in film school at FSU. My program is one of the few, I think, that taught documentaries at the time. So it was actually forced. It was a forced class. And I, after watching all the films that we had to for class, felt like the documentaries that were more personal to the filmmakers were the better and more interesting ones, in my opinion. So I was originally setting out to make a documentary on what it was like to grow up with my dad as a special effects makeup artist, but that was a little too broad. So we focused it on something that has kind of been at the core of his career for my life, which of course is Chucky. And from there, I did a 7-minute version of the short film. And after its reception and taking it to the festival circuit and having way too much footage for a 7-minute film, I was like, this deserves a feature-length movie, even if I'm just doing it independently by myself, I can figure it out.
How old were you when this sort of came into your life?
I was around 4.
Oh my God. So you're probably not much bigger than the Chucky doll itself at this point.
No. Yeah. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about that and kind of like what it was like going back and revisiting this territory and talking to these people who helped make the movie and, you know, maybe saw you as kind of a rugrat when you were growing up?
It's interesting because it's something that's been involved in my life ever since I can remember. So to look at it objectively is actually very hard because this is my baseline for normal, which is why I probably would have never thought to have made a documentary on this had I not had that class in film school, because to me, it's not as interesting in terms of just it's my everyday life. Like Chucky sits on my living room couch and that's just my life. But yeah, my first memory was obviously being very traumatized by the dolls. And then over time, just this being this constant kind of pain in the ass at the time doll that was in my life. And then over time, finding like such a big appreciation for it. And as I started going into filmmaking, further just appreciating like my dad's hard work and what it takes to make these movies and to keep them going after so many decades as well. And then, I had heard David Kirshner's name and Don Mancini throughout like my entire childhood, because my dad also did Hocus Pocus with David and things like that. but I never knew their faces. I had never seen them, not even as a kid, because my dad, Seed took place in Romania. So he was out of the country for 6 months on that. And then everything else is filmed in Canada since. So it was like this separate entity of like an extended cousins almost that would go take care of my dad and then he'd come home. And then through the process of making this documentary, it's like I got to meet all my extended family members for the first time, which was awesome. And then kind of be a part of the family now in a different aspect.
What was it like for them going kind of retreading this old ground and kind of talking? Because you talked to Don Mancini, who created it. So he's there from 88. He's there from inception, before you were even a thought in anybody's head.
Yeah.
What was it like kind of taking these people down memory lane and getting their experience on it? What was their feeling about it?
It was interesting because they've been doing this for so long. So my greatest fear was like asking, you know, the same questions that have been asked for 30 years as well. So it was like really trying to find avenues for them to have the opportunity to speak about something different about it. And I think because I was also asking about the personal side of spending time away from home, spending time with family, they really almost seemed to like open up more in terms of it being a new thing to talk about in relation to Chucky. And then sometimes they'd like remember something that they had forgotten, or John Waters remembers that the puppeteers used to like play tricks on him on set and things like that. It was interesting to like go back in time with everybody. And yeah, it was interesting. Some of them I interviewed right after Cult of Chucky. So they were really excited to have just been working with everybody. And you could see it in their face of like how sad they were to come back, like, oh, and be separated from their filming family for a minute. It was interesting.
You know, you got Jennifer Tilly, John Waters, who's a freaking legend. Was any of that intimidating for you to talk to these people? And how were you able to kind of rope them in and get them to talk to you?
Because they kind of are extended family anyhow. I don't think anybody was like, no. And it mainly just came down to timing. Jennifer, I was a little intimidated to meet, not because of the celebrity factor, but because she just like, when you walk in a room, it is Jennifer Tilly. Like she is just such a like big ball of energy and like very interested in talking. And also that interview was a little intimidating because it was right before she was doing the red carpet for Halloween Horror Nights that year. So they were like, you have 45 minutes with Jennifer. And I was like, oh my God, I have to do this and do it right. And with John Waters, that was a little surreal because we went to his house to film it. So just like being in John Waters' house, not many people get to say that. And it was cute actually, because after we were done the interview, he asked to take a Polaroid picture with me and my cinematographer. And I guess he keeps a book of everybody who's visited his house. And so it was like really weird for John Waters to be like, can I get a picture with you guys before you go? I was like, yeah, can I get a picture with you before we go?
What's interesting about this too is now I'm coming from this perspective of like a non-Chucky fan. I knew the movies existed. I didn't even know that there were this many movies. You know, like I know that Cult of Chucky is an aptly named film because I think there is one in real life.
Yeah.
What do you think this film and what does it mean to the people who worked on it, but also to the horror community, and what do you think it means to the genre?
Well, I hope it's something for the cast and crew to have like this moment frozen in time where they all were talking about each other and so fondly and lovingly that even if and when, knock on wood, the day that, you know, the Chucky franchise comes to a close, that they'll have something to look back on with everybody involved that they love and look back fondly on. So that warms my heart thinking about that though. And even in editing it, I was like, these people have no idea. They just said the kindest thing about the other person on the same exact story. They would have had no idea that they would tell the same story about each other. So that's, I hope it means something like that for the cast and crew. And also for the horror community, I hope it provides like a bigger insight into just how hard it is to get these movies done and made, especially after budget cuts, especially after, you know, straight to DVD. It's like, to the horror fans, it's like, I wanted you to know how hard they work making them, but also it was so important for me to include the fans in the documentary itself. There's a whole section where we talk about them because the movies wouldn't keep continuing without them. So almost it's also like a love letter of like, thank you fans for keeping franchises like these alive. So I hope it would just mean like the documentary itself would mean almost like represent that like union, if that makes sense. And at this point in time of like a love letter to everybody.
What do you want in terms of the future of the film, and then what's next for you?
I would hope that people of older generations coming in are still learning a few new things about their favorite franchise, if it's their favorite franchise. And then for people who aren't as, you know, into the Chucky franchise, they can start from the beginning and learn and maybe want to go back and revisit all the movies, especially before the new series, season 3 comes out and things like that. But I hope it provides more insight to people far and wide, not just like in America and across the world, but also maybe there's potential for it to be in like a collector's edition, box sets, things like that, so that it can reach an even wider audience down the road. And as far as my career, I am currently working on several things. At the moment, I have another documentary that hopefully gets put together on the making of the Foo Fighters movie Studio 666, and then getting back into the narrative headspace. And I'll keep everybody updated on my endeavors on social media, if that's a thing. But as we know, filmmaking, it takes time.
where can we find you and your work on the web?
Yes, I don't have a website because younger generations are like that. But my social media handle on Instagram is Kira E. Gardner, and that's usually where I post about anything that's upcoming or coming out and things like that.
So I enjoyed this movie. I enjoyed Living with Chucky. I'm a sucker for behind the scenes documentary stuff. I like you, not Child's Play fans, but of course we remember those movies existed. We remember the character. It just wasn't in my lexicon, but I'm not a huge. Are you a horror fan in general?
No, not at all.
Yeah, so horror fan, this is like, yeah. You know, this is like, you know, this is the basic building blocks of, you know, unusual slasher movies and stuff. But I thought the documentary had some great interviews. She talked to Don Mancini, who created the whole saga, Brad Dourif, the voice of Chucky, Jennifer Tilly, the bride of Chucky, Billy Boyd, who was the seed of Chucky, and then we had people like Marlon Wayans, John Waters, and Abigail Breslin. Now, I learned a lot about the franchise and the people who made it. It takes you right through the Chucky saga. So we start with film one in 1988, and we go all the way up to present day. And the last act of the film is where Gardner finally appears, and you see her actually talking to these people that she's interviewing. So she talks to her dad, she talks to the producer, and we really get a sense of their relationship, and we get her take on it, like her experience growing up with Chucky. So she is the daughter of Tony Gardner, who did the effects for the films, and so this has been a part of her life. So it's really interesting. I definitely would say it's quite sweet. My one criticism would be that the plot lines aren't interwoven. So we hear about the Chucky franchise and then she comes into the film. I would have much rather that she came into the film earlier when her father started working on the movies so that we could see her grow up with the films as they progressed. And instead of now, it's almost like two movies. Now we get the saga and then we get her. It's still quite good. And I would definitely say that if you're a fan, if you're a Chucky fan, if you're a horror fan, this is a love letter to those movies and a great guide. It's almost like a companion piece to the series. It's something of a historical document. If you're a behind-the-scenes nut or a horror fan, definitely recommend it. Highly recommend it. It's a must-see. Oliver, good show. It's glad to have you on board. This was fun.
It was great to be here.
Let us know what you like or don't like about this new setup. This is very Well, this is probably not going to be all the time, but it's fun and interesting. It's great to have you behind the wheel as a producer and working with me in the studio. So that's all we got for you today. Thanks so much for taking this trip down the rabbit hole. For more of our content, more movie news and reviews, you can always find them on our website, norestfortheweekendpodcast.com. Don't forget to subscribe on your favorite podcast app or on YouTube, youtube.com/getbehindtherabbit. And now you can also find us on Instagram at No Rest for the Weekend. I'd like to thank Kira Elise Gardner and Brenda Betrayed Oliver for co-piloting this one with me, and our sponsor, JMR Rentals. For Behind the Rabbit Productions, I'm Jason Godby. Thanks for joining us. See you next time.